So we're going to continue on today in our hot topics. We have two more sermons in this series today and next week. And in our hot topics sermon series, we talk about biblical perspectives with political issues. And so I want to start by phrasing a question to you, kind of a statement and then a question. And I would just ask this morning that our hearts would be open to receive from the Holy Spirit exactly what we're to receive. Because it's Him that does the work, not me. I just share the message. He's the one that does the work on the heart. So would we have our hearts open to receive from Him this morning? I'm going to move that microphone so I don't kick it later when I'm walking around. So when it comes to immigration, that's the political issue today. When it comes to immigration and refugees, we all have our opinions, some that have been shaped by experiences, some shaped by news stories, and some by the laws of our country. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to ask ourselves, are our views shaped more by political rhetoric or by the Word of God? Have we allowed fear or convenience to cloud our biblical call to love our neighbor, especially the stranger in our midst? As we dive into our hot topic this morning, let's take a moment and let's honestly reflect and let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. How does my heart align with God's call to justice and mercy? How does my heart align to that? And am I willing, this is a big one, am I willing to let His Word change my perspective if necessary? You've heard me say it before, and you're going to hear it again in this sermon, but I guess now's a good time to share it again. If your opinion does not align with the Word of God, what must we do? Change your opinion, because our opinion is weighed and by the Word of God. So another hot topic that we have to wrestle with today as Christians is about immigration and refugees. And so today we're going to hear about how God's Word actually welcomes strangers and how we should treat immigrants with compassion as we are all, that is all bold, all capitalized, we are all made in the image of Christ. All of us are made in the image of God. And so would you open your Bible this morning to our main scripture? If you have your Bible, great. If not, maybe a neighbor can share with you. We'll also have it on the overhead. Our main scripture this morning is Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 through 34. We're also going to have a couple of secondary verses. It will be on the overhead, but if you would like to mark them, you can. And it's going to be Matthew chapter 25, verse 35. And then Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, which those will also be on the screen this morning. And so today, the goal of what we're going to do is we're going to lay the foundation for the biblical perspective, and then we're going to tackle the political issue that we face with immigration and refugees. So can we all agree to hear from the Word of God this morning? Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 through 34, and I have added parentheses there for you, or whatever those are called. Those aren't parentheses. What is that called? I am smarter than I look. I had it right the first time. They are parentheses. So when a stranger sojourns, which means to live, when a stranger lives with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns, lives with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So this verse, short but clear and concise, and here God lays out the expectations for how Israel is to treat the strangers living in their land. And He reminds them that you were once a stranger living in a foreign land. You lived in Egypt. So God lays this out and He says, do not mistreat, but love them as what? Yourself. Love them as yourself. And so what that means for us today is that we are to love people of different backgrounds and different nationalities. Love them even if you don't understand them. Love will show expressions of kindness and concern for those who come to live in one's community. So if we have foreigners or immigrants living in our communities, the way to reach them is to love them and to show kindness. Because in that, we are showing them Jesus. So Jesus emphasizes, if we know the New Testament story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus emphasizes this same concept to love and to show expressions of love, which are kindness to those living in with one's community. If you need to go read the Good Samaritan, you can do that later today. And God Himself even loved His people while they were aliens, while they were separated from Him, when they were cast off, He still loved them. And guess what? God expects us to do the same thing today. To love the stranger among us. God wants to bless all nations of the world through His people. Now, you could argue that Israel are His people, but guess what? We are blood-bought Christians. We are His people. Okay? We are His people. So for context, for today, it starts with us loving our neighbor no matter where they are from. Period. No matter where they're from, no matter what their nationality is, we are to love them. We are called to extend love. We are called to extend compassion and justice to immigrants while remembering, listen, while remembering that we are considered spiritual foreigners in this world. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. So we ourselves are considered a foreigner to this world. So this very idea, it calls us to be empathetic towards those and to treat immigrants humanely. Ready for this? Whether documented or not. If you feel like I'm stepping on your toes, feel free to take your shoes off this morning. Whether documented or not, we are called to be empathetic and to treat immigrants humanely, to show love. Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. Listen, really and truly, you need to read verses 35 all the way through 40, but I took the two main points that I needed to get across, but the rest of it gives context for this. So feel free to read 35 through 40 later, but it says this, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me." And the king will answer them. Verse 40, so we're jumping down a few lines here, so go get that context if you need it. "And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" So Jesus calls, what we're seeing here, is Jesus calls the church, He calls us as a body of believers, as individual believers, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, He calls us to serve and love the least of these. Which includes, listen, the marginalized and the displaced. See, here Jesus is teaching that serving the least of these is serving Him. Serving the least of these, serving immigrants and refugees who have been displaced, by serving them, we are serving Christ Jesus. By welcoming the stranger, including immigrants and refugees, it is seen as part of Christian duty. It is our job to receive immigrants and refugees. This concept and this idea, this is important, so I'm going to read this. This idea challenges us to think beyond our political beliefs and to see the face of Christ in the immigrant and the refugee. Because why? Because we are all made in the image of God. Our response as the church and Christians, it needs to include some practical support, whether through charitable work or by welcoming newcomers into communities. One of my mentors asked me this week as I was preparing this message, he said to me, "Well, you live in a small community, you probably don't see a whole lot of this." And I said, "You know what, we're seeing it more and more, and we should, frankly. I mean, we should, and we will, and it will continue." And the idea that, why is this a political, because I'm not going to get into politics, but depending on what side of the aisle you're on, not literally what side of the aisle you're on, you can have very strong beliefs one way or the other. And I'm going to submit to you that the Word of God is what we stand on, not what side of the aisle we stand on. Because I'm going to tell you that they're both wrong in several aspects of their beliefs. What we need to do as Christians is to love them. Okay? Whether documented or not, they're still made in the image of God. So do we reconcile our political beliefs or do we reconcile our biblical beliefs? We reconcile our political to match what the Bible says. They are all made in the image of God. Let's get to our third secondary scripture here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. It says this, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in who? In Christ Jesus." You are all one in Christ Jesus. Now this verse is powerful. And what we see here is Paul actually removes all barriers to one spiritual relationship with Christ Jesus. You have seen me do this before, and Crystal, you have commented on it, but Kerry Van Kampen years ago when he was interim here, he talked about barriers. And I remember him taking this like big old boulder and placing it right in the path on somebody's way to Jesus. We have to remove barriers for people to come to Christ Jesus, not put barriers. So Paul effectively removes this barrier so those can find Jesus. And that includes ethnic, racial, national, socioeconomic, and gender. All barriers are removed because all are to come to Christ Jesus. Because all are made in the image of God. So we remove barriers. We don't create barriers. And listen, all who are in Christ are equal heirs in the gift of God's grace. Emma, you don't get more grace than Mom. Right? Nicole, you don't get more grace than Joel. Amanda, you don't get more grace than Johnny. We are all equal heirs of God's grace. We all equally receive God's grace. We all equally receive the promised Spirit and the spiritual renewal in God's image as well. There is no boulders in the way to that. It is open and it is free for all people. So we all can receive that spiritual renewal in God's image, regardless of where you come from or who you are. So in essence, what this verse does is it speaks to the unity and the equality of all people in Christ. You are no different than the person sitting next to you if you have both been blood-bought by Jesus Christ. Remember, in the kingdom of God, all are equal regardless of background. We talked a little bit this morning about being, in a sense, equal, right? John and James, they asked to sit on the right hand of Jesus, and the other disciples, Scripture says, they were indignant. When we all get to heaven, guess what? We're equal. We are all equal, regardless of background, no matter where we've come from, what we've done, we are all equal in the kingdom of God. So this verse, what this should do is it should reinforce to us that as Christians, we should view immigrants and refugees. This is a good one. This is catchy. You ready? We are to view them not as others, but rather as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. The way we view each other, hopefully in here, is brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. If not, we got some praying to do, and we need to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit to work on us. But we need to view immigrants and refugees not as others, but as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. This verse further speaks against xenophobia and discrimination towards a group from wherever they may be coming from. And if we're being honest, this is challenging. This was a challenging sermon to write. It's a challenging from these three verses, but we're going to take it just a further step. We're going to take it one more step. And if we were to summarize these three verses that we just read, here are some of the things that we can take away. This here, what we're about to talk about, is our biblical perspective for immigration and refugees in the United States. So while policies pertaining to immigration and refugees, are they not a contentious political issue in the United States? Otherwise, it would not be a hot topic. Otherwise, it would not be on every radio station you turn on listening to the news. They're not always going to be talking about abortion and gender identity and whether or not we should vote and immigration, the things that we have talked about. These are hot topics in our nation right now. And our scriptures this morning, they have provided a very clear mandate for how Christians are to act, full of compassion, justice, and a recognition for shared humanity that we have with all people, regardless of their status or their background. See, something we have to remember is whether your neighbor, your boss, your friend, the unborn baby, a stranger, or an immigrant, regardless of their legal status, each one bears the image of God. Each person bears the image of God, and this very truth should shape how we treat, speak, and interact with them. This should mold the whole concept. Now, I realize that this may be a hard thing to hear today. It may be challenging to hear today because maybe you were raised with a certain viewpoint or you let your opinion be shaped after certain conversations or certain experiences at work, and you sit here this morning and you are firm in your beliefs about immigration and refugees. And I'm going to submit to you this morning that if you are sitting here this morning as a Christian, someone who has received and experienced God's abundant grace, if your opinion on immigration and refugees contradicts Scripture, guess what? Change your opinion. This is where we have to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to change us. You know, I just realized, my wife told me 2 weeks ago that I like to jingle my keys in my pocket. And I've been so self-conscious about it. Last week I gave her my keys and I just realized I was playing with my keys. I heard it jingling this time. So if we ourselves have experienced God's abundant grace, we should align our beliefs with Scripture before our political affiliation. Now, if we want to take this one more step further, if we're being honest, as Christians, we ourselves should have some understanding of what it is to be outcast, what it is to be foreigners in this world. Because as Christians, we are ostracized, we are demeaned, and we are hated because of our beliefs and because of who we are. As Christians, we are outcast from this world. And in fact, the Bible is quite clear that as believers, we will be persecuted and hated. Okay? So let's jump into a few of that real quick. Write this down if you need to. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. And it says this, Jesus says, "You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Okay? Point number one. Number two, John chapter 15, verses 18 through 20. Jesus also says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." One more. 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul writes, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Not maybe, will be. You will be persecuted. So in recent years, if we look at this, I'm trying to expand this idea that we have some knowledge of what it is to be the outcast and to know what it is. And so if you look at the church, big C, so I'm talking about the church as a whole, not our body, not the community, but rather big C church. In the U.S. alone, in 2023, has experienced hostile acts against it. There were over 430 documented incidents of hostility towards churches in 2023, including vandalism, arson, and even gun-related violence in the United States. Okay? That number is up significantly from years past. We also see, and I think we can all agree with this, we also see public perception and intimidation towards Christianity in the forms of social or culture disdain. So there seems to be this move that we are changing, we're becoming less of a Christian nation, essentially, okay? And so with that comes this shift that Christianity is now bad and feelings are better. So there are attempts made to intimidate or marginalize Christians, and it's more common than it ever has been before. Okay? Then there's also a shift that we see taking place on moral authority. It used to be that the Bible provided us our moral authority. Now, moral authority lays in the hands of those who identify as victims. Whoever has the loudest voice about their issue now holds that moral authority, and it leaves Christians feeling persecuted, singled out, or vilified for their beliefs, especially those with traditional views. And I put parentheses behind that to say traditional views are biblical views. Progressive views are not biblical views, I would submit, largely. The Bible is quite clear on what we are to look at and view. And that covers social issues. It covers many issues because mainstream, our beliefs no longer align with culture. I could go down a whole rabbit hole here, but we have kids in here, so I'm not going to run quite down that rabbit hole. Okay, great. The people that we are to reach and to love are the ones who treat us poorly because of our beliefs of who we are. Those are the ones that we are trying to reach out to. And far be it from us. And also on the same hand, shame on us if we as Christians make one of God's creation feel like they don't belong, they aren't accepted, that they are an outcast, or they don't have worth because of how we treated them. So let's open our hearts and let's let the Holy Spirit have a look and challenge our thinking and correct our thinking and then allow us to start pouring love on those who don't feel like they belong, don't feel like they are accepted, that feel like they are an outcast, or somehow because of wherever they come from, they don't have worth in our country. Far be it from us to be a people that do that. Now, I will admit that we as Christians do have a balancing act. We do because there's a tension between justice and mercy. There's this tension between that. So if we look at it, I think we can all agree that the current laws regarding immigration on our books, they are not being followed in the United States. It's being used as a political tool, and you got both sides arguing about it. And if we're to be honest, it's a balancing act as Christians of what we're to feel about this. And there is a way, there is hope, there is a way that we can have compassion and love for the immigrants and the refugees while also expecting the government to enforce existing immigration laws fairly and consistently across the board. So, what does a balanced response look like from us as Christians? Well, it can look something like this. We should expect and we should advocate for the government to enforce laws fairly and consistently while upholding justice and maintaining order. So that's just get your act together. We're just going to be over here loving on the immigrants and refugees, treating them all as the image bearers of Christ as they are, but government, get your act together. Okay? We can personally respond to immigrants and refugees with compassion and mercy, following biblical mandates to love and care for the vulnerable. And I'll remind you of the quote from the first sermon in this series. John Stone Street writes, "Instead of not voting or simply casting your ballot for the lesser of two evils, vote to lessen evil." Vote to lessen evil. And by voting to lessen evil, it is our opportunity as Christians to influence our government towards righteousness. And then finally, at the end of the day, church, we all share our humanity. We are all made in the image of God. Whether immigrant, refugee, whether foreigner, we're foreigners, or exiles, we all share our humanity, and we all share in the image of God that we have in our life. So engaging our community for Jesus, it means that we see, we welcome, and we treat immigrants with compassion. We love and we show mercy because we are all made in the image of God. Just because they are immigrants, it does not diminish the fact that they are image bearers of God. Let me repeat that. Just because they are immigrants, that does not diminish the fact that they are image bearers of God. We must work to break down these ideas that contradict Scripture. We must work to have biblical views on what our hot topics are. And we are to love those, the immigrants and the refugee, who come to the United States because we all share the image of God the Father. Amen? Let's stand to our feet this morning, if you would, in a time of response here. I'll close that down, Joel, so you and Caleb can do what you need to do. If you would you just close your eyes and bow your heads this morning? And I just want to encourage you. Maybe you've never received this abundant grace that I've talked about or experienced God's mercy in your life and don't know what it is to receive His image in your life. And this morning I want to just extend an opportunity for you to step into a relationship with Christ, to say that I want to be in relationship. I need my sins forgiven, and I want to be blood-bought, and I want to have this biblical knowledge and perspective when it comes to all of these challenging issues that we face. If that is you this morning, would you please just raise your hand where you're at with every eye closed and head bowed this morning? Church, I'd like to close in just a way that requires us to reflect. As the worship team plays this morning, can I just encourage you that we need to have our eyes towards Jesus, and we need to have our hearts open to allow the Holy Spirit an opportunity to work. He's never going to force Himself upon you. He's never going to make you You have to be willing to receive from Him. So as the worship team plays for us this morning, could we just take the time? Could we approach the altar? We have an altar because it separates us from our seat. It separates us, and it's an act of submitting before God and saying, God, I need more of You. I want more of You. I'm here to receive from You today, and just leaning in. And so as the worship team plays, can I encourage you? Can I implore you? Can I challenge you and ask you to accept the invitation to approach the altar, to open your heart, and let the Holy Spirit does what He does best, and that's to make little corrections in your heart to help you to turn us more into the image of Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen.